Let's pray. Father, again, it is a blessing to be here this morning. It is a blessing to be one of your children. It is a blessing to have hope that someday we will be with you forever. And Lord, we pray now that as we turn to your word, our hearts would be quiet before you. And that we would be open to what your word has for us this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have the privilege of celebrating the Lord's table today. Typically, I focus on remembering. I focus on the sacrifice that was made on our behalf. How we are no longer slaves to sin. Today, I want to focus on another aspect of celebrating the Lord's table. In 1 Corinthians, we read the following passage. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgments to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. I fear way too often we allow things into our lives that do not belong. Much like that one drawer we all have in the kitchen. It's where we put things where we don't know where else to put them. And we continue to fill it up until the drawer will not open or close. It's at this point we go through it and get rid of all the things we no longer use or need. That drawer can represent our spiritual lives. My prayer is that we take time today and get rid of all the stuff that doesn't belong. The question we want to wrestle with this morning is, how do we clean up the mess? I believe we can find the answer to this question by looking at the life of Hezekiah. We're going to look or hit on a few of the highlights of Hezekiah's life. Please turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Just a little history this morning. Israel as a nation has their ups and downs. They rejected God as their king and asked to have a king of their own. Saul, who was from the tribe of Benjamin, would be the first king. After Saul, David, and then his son Solomon. After Solomon's reign, the kingdom would be divided. The northern 10 tribes would be referred to as Israel, and the southern 2 tribes would be Judah. As we read through 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles, we are given an account of all the kings. We see good kings and we see bad kings. Often the kings are described as those who did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and those who did what was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Hezekiah is one of those kings who did what was right in the sight of the Lord. As we begin chapter 29, we see Hezekiah is introduced in verses 1 and 2. As we read, Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. We see that he was 25 years old when he became king. He was king for 29 years. But most importantly, we see he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Hezekiah will be used by God to spiritually restore the nation of Judah. So as we want to clean up or take out the trash, the first step we need to do is seek God with all our hearts. In 2 Chronicles 31, verses 20 through 21, we read, "Thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judah, and he did what was good and right and true before the Lord his God. In every work that he began in the service of the house of God, in the law and in the commandment to seek his God, he did it with all his heart, so he prospered." I want to draw your attention to verse 21, where we read, "To seek his God, he did it with all his heart." This tells me that Hezekiah wasn't doing this to make a name for himself. His desire was to please God. I have to wonder, how often do we seek God? Do we seek God when we make decisions? You know, as Christians, we represent God. If we're honest, there are times we fail to represent Him well. Like the little fish in the back of a car. This tells others that we are a Christian. Do we consider this as we drive down the interstate at 80 miles an hour? If we are truly seeking God, it will change the choices that we make. But seeking God is a lifelong process. And Hezekiah was less than perfect. He would allow pride to come into his life. We read in 2 Chronicles 32, verses 24 through 26, "In those days Hezekiah was sick and near death, And he prayed to the Lord, and he spoke to him and gave him a sign. But Hezekiah did not repay according to the favor shown him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore, wrath was looming over him and over Judah and Jerusalem. Then Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord did not come upon them in the days of Hezekiah. This is a reminder to us all. Hezekiah was seeking God with all his heart. And then pride made its way into his life. If we're not careful, pride will enter into our lives. When this takes place, we begin to do things that are not pleasing to God. We stop seeking Him. We try to fix problems in our own strength. If we allow pride in our lives, it will prevent us from seeking God. The second step this morning is we need to take time to evaluate the situation. 2 Chronicles 29, verses 6 through 7 read, "For our fathers have trespassed and done evil in the eyes of the Lord our God. They have forsaken Him, have turned their faces away from the dwelling place of the Lord and turned their backs on Him. They have also shut up the doors of the vestibule, put out the lamps, and have not burnt incense or offered burnt offerings in the holy place to the God of Israel." Now, Hezekiah has evaluated their current situation. Worship has stopped. The temple doors are boarded up. There are no longer offering sacrifices. The temple was a reflection of their spiritual condition. Church, we need to set aside time to evaluate our spiritual condition. Evaluate the things that do not belong in our lives. The things that are offensive to God. This is not an easy process to go through. This is essential if we want to grow in our faith. If we allow unconfessed sin in our lives, it will keep us from growing. It will keep us from seeking God. This is why we need to set aside time on a regular basis to evaluate our spiritual condition. I believe there's wisdom in allowing others to help us in this evaluation process. Now, As we continue on, we see that if we need to make a plan. Not only did Hezekiah evaluate, he also had a plan. Not only did he have a plan, but he implemented that plan. We continue on, we read in 2 Chronicles 29, 3 through 5, it says, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Then he brought in the priest and the Levites and gathered them in the east square and said to them, hear me, Levites, now sanctify yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry out the rubbish from the holy place. Now, the first part of the plan is to clear out what does not belong.
La primera parte del plan es limpiar la basura.
We see the word rubbish.
La palabra basura.
This was anything that was in the temple that was not sanctified.
Era todo lo que había en el templo que no estaba santificado.
Or anything that was not set apart for the service of God. You know, we read about this in the book of Exodus. God was very specific about what was to be in the tabernacle or temple. We need to be willing to get rid of the things that do not belong in our lives. You know, my wife and I have moved a few times. And my wife has come up with the slogan, when in doubt, throw it out. This should be included in our evaluation process. If we are uncertain about something, it probably needs to go. Why keep unneeded clutter in our lives? It will never go anywhere unless we're willing to throw it out. And this is why it's important to have a plan. There are some things that we may require us to rearrange our priorities, but there are other things that will need to be destroyed. Second Chronicles 31:1, it says, now when all this was finished, all Israel who were present went out to the cities of Judah and broke the sacred pillars in pieces, cut down the wooden images and threw down the high places and the altars from all Judah, Benjamin, Ephraim, and Manasseh until they had utterly destroyed them all. Then all the children of Israel returned to their own cities, every man to his possession. We read, they utterly destroyed them all. We have things in our lives that need to be broken down and destroyed. If we don't destroy them, they will make their way back into our lives. We may need to delete social media accounts. It may require us to end a relationship. I know a man who was struggling with pornography who chose to throw his computer in the trash. Whatever it is, if you are seeking God, if you have taken time to evaluate, you will know exactly what needs to be destroyed. As we continue on, we need to see that, make sure that worship is a priority. In 2 Chronicles 29, verses 25 through 29, it says, "And he stationed the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with string instruments, and with harps, according to the commandment of David of Gad, the king's seer, and of Nathan the prophet. For thus was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. The Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. Then Hezekiah commanded them to offer the burnt offering on the altar, and when they had burnt, and when the burnt offerings began, the song of the Lord also began with the trumpets, and with the instruments of David, king of Israel. So all the assembly worshipped. The singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded. All this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they had finished offering, the king and all who were present with him bowed and worshipped." This had to be an exciting day. This is something you've been missing for years. You can sense the excitement as we read this passage. The doors of the temple have been opened. The trash has been removed. They have gathered to worship in the same way that David had worshipped. Instruments are being played. Songs are being sung. Offerings and sacrifices were being made. Hezekiah has brought worship back to Judah. You know, we too have come together to worship this morning. Yet for some, it may be difficult. And if that is the case, I would encourage you to work your way through the process that we've outlined this morning. Start by seeking God with all your heart. Take time to evaluate. And if you do these things, if you take out the trash, your ability to worship will be restored. But not only did they worship, we can read that they celebrated. In 2 Chronicles 3, chapter 30, verses 1 and 2, we read, "And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah, and also wrote letters to Ephraim and Manasseh, that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover of the Lord God of Israel. For the king and his leaders and all the assembly in Jerusalem had agreed to keep the Passover in the second month. You know, it's easy to get down. It's easy to look around, look at what is going on around us and get discouraged. We see all kinds of natural disasters taking place. Wildfires, floods, and extreme heat. And this is not in our notes. Because this was written before the events of yesterday, but even the attempted shooting of our former president yesterday. But you know what? Our God is still in control. And as His church, we have reason to celebrate this morning. And I have to wonder if Hezekiah didn't sense that the people of Judah were having doubts. The Assyrian army was a major threat. They'd already conquered several other nations. Could Judah survive an attack from them? I have to wonder if that's why Hezekiah chose to celebrate the Passover. We're told that it was not the standard time to celebrate it. Yet Hezekiah chose to do so. You know, the Passover was celebrated to help them remember how God had delivered them out of Egypt. It was celebrated to help them remember that God is faithful to keep His word. This is the very reason we celebrate communion. Jesus gave the Passover new meanings the night He was with His disciples in the upper room. He gave new meaning to the cup and the bread. It is a time to celebrate what God has done for us. It is because of the body of Christ that animal sacrifices are no longer required. It is because of the blood that was shed that we have been freed from God's wrath. Jesus paid the price for you and me so that we that as we place our faith in Him, we can have the assurance of eternal life. Communion is a time of remembrance. But it's also a time of celebration. Celebrating what God has done for us. I believe as Christians, we don't celebrate enough. We should celebrate more than just around the communion table. We should celebrate daily. Celebrate that God has given us a new day. Celebrate when God answers our prayers. Celebrate when someone accepts Christ as their Savior. Celebrate when someone has victory over sin. The reality is, without God, we are helpless. Without God, there is no reason to celebrate. If you're here this morning and you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have reason to celebrate. He has saved us from our sins. He has rescued us from the fires of hell. He has given us the assurance of eternal life. Folks, I don't know what's going on in your life right now. It's possible your life may be full of clutter. Clutter that is keeping you from growing in your faith. Clutter that has hindered your ability to worship. Clutter that needs to be thrown out. Clutter that needs to be destroyed. For this reason, I'm going to ask you to take time to seek God this morning. Take time to evaluate your life. And in a minute, we're going to give you a chance to respond to this morning's message. And I pray that you use this time to examine your hearts as we prepare to celebrate the Lord's table. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and for the sacrifice that he made on our behalf. Lord, I pray even at this moment that each person present in this room will take time to examine their hearts. And Lord, even over these next few moments, commit to you to get rid of the clutter, to get rid of the trash. So that as we celebrate the Lord's table this morning, they can do so with a clear mind and heart. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And if anyone would like to respond to the message as we close this morning in song, I'd encourage you to come as we sing. I or Pastor Garcia would love to pray with you this morning as we close.
Stand with me.